Scripture reading from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not know the Lord, yet did not know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And third time the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening."
감사합니다.
日本語でサムエル記第1章3章の1節から10節を読みます。少年サムエルはエリの前で主に仕えていた。その頃主の言葉は稀にしかなく、幻も示されなかった。その日エリは自分のところで寝ていた。彼の目は霞んできて見えなくなっていた。神の灯火はまだ消えていず、サムエルは神の箱の安置きされている主の宮で寝ていた。その時主はサムエルを呼ばれた。彼は、はい、ここにおりますと言ってエリのところに走っていき、はい、ここにおります、私をお呼びになったのでと言った。エリは、私は呼ばない、帰ってお休みと言った。それでサムエルは戻って寝た。主はもう一度サムエルを呼ばれた。サムエルは起きてエリのところに行き、はい、ここにおります、私をお呼びになったのでと言った。エリは、私は呼ばない、我が子よ、帰ってお休みと言った。サムエルはまだ主を知らず、主の言葉もまだ彼に示されていなかった。主が3度目にサムエルを呼ばれた時、サムエルは起きてエリのところに行き、はい、ここにおります、私をお呼びになったのでと言った。そこでエリは主がこの少年を呼んでおられるということを悟った。それでエリはサムエルに言った。行ってお休み。今度呼ばれたら、主よ、お話しください。しもべは聞いております。と申し上げなさい。サムエルは行って自分のところで寝た。そのうちに主が来られ、そばに立ってこれまでと同じようにサムエル、サムエルと呼ばれた。サムエルは、お話しください。しもべは聞いております。と申し上げた。
Good morning.
Good
morning. How are you doing?
Great.
Good, good, good. Well, I'm going to mention the Wildcats again. You know, I'm a huge basketball fan, for those of you who don't know. I grew up playing basketball since I was seven years old. I played basketball in an organized sport. And it kept me out of a lot of trouble growing up. I think without basketball, I would have gotten into a lot more trouble just because I didn't grow up in the church. Basketball was church for me. Every Sunday, we'd have like a league game. And that's what my life revolved around and the community revolved around. I grew up in the Los Angeles area, so I was a huge Los Angeles Laker fan. Huge Los Angeles Laker fan. And my favorite player was Magic Johnson. And I remember in 1991, Magic Johnson announced he was HIV positive. I was about 13 at the time, so that was, you know, 23 years ago. And at 13, I still remember, it's kind of like, you know, it was like last week, I still remember, I stood up and I just walked around my neighborhood. I didn't know what to do. I felt the appropriate response was to cry because, you know, if you're diagnosed with HIV at that time, you know, you were just, it was, you know, you thought maybe you had a couple weeks to live or something like that. So, that was the saddest moment of my life when it came to basketball. Saddest. Last night when the U of A lost, for some reason, that was like the second saddest moment of my life. Now, I didn't cry, like some people might have cried. I didn't go out and join the rioting. I heard there was rioting going on at the U of A. But I did lay down and just sleep for a bit. I didn't want to watch basketball. I didn't want to do anything. I just wanted to just sit there and sulk. And I felt like I felt the sadness of the city as well, of Tucson. You know, Tucson is a wonderful place. I've been here 2 years now, and I don't know if I consider myself a Tucsonian, but yesterday, last night, was the first time I really felt Tucsonian. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I really just connected with the people of Tucson and was sad. With that said, you know, may Tucson be known for more than just its basketball. Amen?
Amen.
May it be a place where it's known where people worship the Lord. With that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this city, the city of Tucson. We thank you, Lord, for you are not finished with this city. We thank you, Father, for the redemptive purpose this city has, Lord, and all those who call you by name, Lord, and who you call by name. We want to come before you as a church to worship you, God, to bless your holy name, to praise you and thank you, for you are worthy to be worshipped. You who are mighty and strong, you who comfort those who are sad and depressed, you who give hope to the hopeless. We thank you so much for your grace, and we praise you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We've been doing a series on prayer, and I believe that if you are a disciple of Jesus, your prayer life should be powerful.
Amen.
Not just long, but very powerful and effective. One of the things that is said by God throughout Scripture is a critique on humanity that we are ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, we might turn and be forgiven. And this verse implies that we have the ability to see and hear to some capacity, spiritually. Not just physically, but spiritually, be able to see and hear. And if we're able to spiritually see and hear, there is a transformation of the heart that will turn to the Lord. Last week we talked about John the Baptist, and one of the moments in John's life where he stumbled in sin, that he was blinded. It's in Matthew chapter 11. We won't read the whole thing. If you want to hear the sermons, it's online. But John the Baptist one of the greatest men that ever walked on this earth. He knew Jesus. He was related to Jesus, actually. And he was considered the last Old Testament prophet. He testified about Jesus being the Lamb of God. He baptized him and saw the Holy Spirit descend on him like a dove. He heard the voice of God saying, the one you see the Spirit fall on, he is the one, the Messiah. He had all of these supernatural experiences in his life. Yet, there was a moment in his life where he felt doubt. And part of the reason why John doubted was because of an expectation of the Messiah. Now, I can't get into all the reason why, and I don't know all the reason why, but part of the reason why John and most of Israel was blinded was because of an expectation of the Messiah that Jesus didn't fulfill. And that expectation was that he was going to be a conquering king. That he would come like David of old and overthrow the nations and make Jerusalem and the temple the center of worship again. Jesus didn't do that. In fact, Jesus said about the temple, you see this temple? Not one stone will be left on another. He prophesied against the temple. And it's kind of opposite what they were expecting. And they were conditioned, John was conditioned, the people of Israel was conditioned to look for the wrong things. And although they were ever seeing, they did not perceive. Or else they would have turned to the Lord and be forgiven. They were blinded. I want to talk today of another, I want to look at another story in the Bible today. It's in the Old Testament. It's the story we just read about Samuel and Eli. And this story is about hearing. Now, first, you guys familiar with Samuel and Eli? So Eli was a priest slash judge. He was one of the last judges. I believe Samuel is considered a judge too. But Eli was a priest slash judge, a great priest. He had some faults. His sons were not very good priests, but he was a great priest. Samuel was born and around 2 years old, he was discipled by Eli, raised in the house of God. Here in 1 Samuel 3, it says, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. And in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. Now, this passage seems to imply that there were times when the voice of the Lord was common. Or there were more instances of visions and the Lord speaking. But in this time, at this moment, 1 Samuel 3, it says, it was rare. Just thinking about that, you know, I was just thinking about ebbs and flows to the voice of the Lord. And I feel like, I don't know if this is correct or not, when the voice of the Lord is more common, is present, it looks like practically revival. You guys familiar with that term revival in a Christian context? There's been several revivals in America. First Great Awakening, Second Great Awakening, maybe the Third Great Awakening, the Pentecostal movement in 1906, the Azusa Street Revival, which broke out with just a new movement, a fresh move of God. In the 60s, there was something called the Jesus People Movement. You guys familiar with that? A lot of hippies just came to know the Lord. And there's a church, I don't know if it's a denomination, but you guys familiar with Calvary Chapel? That church actually really prospered during the Jesus People Movement. It was in during the 60s, the pastor there, I forgot his name for a second.
Chuck Smith.
You know, people are familiar with that name, especially when it comes to Bible teaching. Before the movement, he was, you know, a pastor of a church with not too many people, older people, and I guess there was an increase in the voice of the Lord. And Chuck Smith probably would testify himself, it was very supernatural what happened. And there was a revival broke out. Now, I don't know where we are in the timeline. I don't know where we are in terms of the ebbs and flow, whether today, if the voice of the Lord is rare and visions are not common, but if we are, that doesn't mean it will always be like this. Throughout Scripture, God has been speaking to His people, and God will not be mute. The thing is, are we listening? Do we have ears to hear when He speaks? Or have we been conditioned to not hear God? And even if God speaks, are we conditioned to ignore Him? You know, in this story here, the voice of the Lord, even present, it can't be missed. And Samuel almost missed the voice of the Lord, didn't he? He thought Eli was playing a trick on him. It's like the Lord spoke and He said, "Samuel." And Eli woke up and ran to Samuel and said, "What do you want, sir?" And Samuel said, "What are you talking about? I didn't call you." And Samuel went back and said, "Okay, I'm going to lay you back down." And then he heard a voice again. Samuel said, "All right, I heard my name this time." And he goes to Eli and says, "Eli, what do you want?" Probably because those are the only two people in the temple at that time. And Eli was like, I didn't call your name, Samuel." He did it a third time. He heard his voice again, his name again, "Samuel." Now, let me ask you, if that happened to you, what would you have done? You know, you're comfortable, it's late, you're lying down, you've done your work, you've done your job, you're lying down, and, you know, Eli is, you know, you got to understand, Eli is about 80 or 90 at this time. And so either Eli is going crazy, or you're going crazy, one or the other, right? And, if Eli would have just ignored it, what would have happened? What would have happened if Eli just said, "Samuel is just jisaboke," or "Samuel is just, you know, getting senile, and I'm just going to leave him alone"? You know, I don't know what happened. It says in verse 7, "Samuel did not know the Lord. The word of the Lord has not been revealed to him." Even though Samuel grew up in the church or in the temple, he didn't know his voice or him or the Lord personally. And perhaps it was just Samuel grew up during a time when the voice of the Lord was rare and he just wasn't taught. I am sure Eli heard the voice of the Lord prior to this. I'm sure Eli knew what the voice of the Lord was. I'm sure if the voice of the Lord was more accessible, or it happened frequently, then Eli would have known what to do with what happened. Does that make sense? But it was rare. Samuel didn't teach him, or Eli didn't teach Samuel. In fact, it was kind of like a conditioning for Samuel not to wait for the voice of the Lord, not to expect Him to speak, not to wait for Him. I talked about conditioning last week, and I'll talk about it again. Did you know that they say about 5 different corporations owns all of media since the early 2000s? Prior to that, it was about I think they say about 50 different corporations owned all of media. Today, they say it's about 6 or 5 different corporations that owns all of media. Who is conditioning your mind? I don't talk about, I don't go and promote movies, or I don't, you know, say, hey, don't go watch that movie, or hey, go ahead and watch that movie. But there's a movie out called Noah. It's supposed to be epic. Russell Crowe, you know, I think a lot of Christians got excited when they saw the trailer for it, because it just looks pretty amazing. It's actually directed by an atheist, and just the review of the movie is not very good from a Christian perspective. And so I just want to warn you, you know.
Didn't do very good at the box office.
Oh, it didn't do very good at the box office
Son
either.
Son of God did better the first time he came out.
Oh, wow. Go Jesus. but, you know, it's interesting that even biblical movies is giving a message that may not be all that biblical. Now, your kids might be going out to watch those movies. You might be going out watching those movies. What fills your mind? What shapes your mind? What shapes your expectations? You know, if it's those five companies, corporations, that are shaping your expectation, let me tell you, they have an agenda. It's not like, oh, let's just give them something entertaining. It's like, oh, let's give them something that will fill our wallets and make us really rich. And if it's even more devious than that, oh, let's go fill them with ideas and thoughts that pull them away from God. We are living in a time and a place, America, in an age where there are voices, hundreds and thousands of voices that compete for your values, that competes for your heart, that competes for your attention, that competes for you. And what has grabbed your heart? What has captured it? And when Jesus came and ministered, he talked about the kingdom of God. I don't know if kingdom means anything, so he talked about God's company, the corporation of heaven, let's put it that way. And he talked about where it was if you wanted to go into the kingdom. He said, the kingdom of God is near, the kingdom of God is among you, and he says, the kingdom of God is within. He talks about three spatial areas where the kingdom of God can be found. I want to talk a little bit about the kingdom of God within you, found in Luke 17:21. And it's a little bit about discerning the voice of God, because discerning it does not come naturally these days. Because we're just not taught to discern the voice of God. In fact, I don't know if we're taught to discern any kind of voices. In high school, do they teach? There's like two of you in high school. So in high school, do they teach how to be media literate, or is that the right word? To really understand what's going on? They didn't teach me when I was growing up. Well, they could have taught it, I just wasn't listening. You know, they don't really teach that in undergrad either, I don't think. In seminary, I took a class about just, you know, trying to look theologically at films, and not just Christian films, but films in general. You know, what's the idea they're trying to get across? What is the message they're sending? I don't know if we're taught to really dissect and think about the messages that are coming into our lives. you know, when growing up, I have two older brothers, and I'm the youngest. My middle brother, he'd get a lot of phone calls, and one of the they'd always for some reason mistake my voice for his voice. So I'd pick up the phone and I'd say hello, and they'd be like, "Hey, Mas," and I'm like, "Oh, I'm not Masa. I'll get him. I think my brother and I, we have the same voice. We sound alike. I don't know. You guys have that problem? You guys ever had that problem? Really? Oh, okay. So it's not just me. There's this one friend. His name is Kenta. He's a family friend. We grew up together. All three we knew him since I was like, before I could even remember, we knew him. But he'd call, and he would always call for my brother Masa, and he would always go, "Hey, Mas." And then I would try to like trick him and be like, "Hey, what's going on?" You know, blah, 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 blah. And I can't say what I used to say because it's not appropriate from the pulpit because I was not saved. But I would try to trick him as long as I could. And then after a while, he'd say, "Hey, put Masa on the phone." You know, and then I'd be like, "Oh, okay, fine, all right." But there was something about my friend Kenta and my brother Masa that they knew each other so well that even though we sounded alike, he knew eventually that I was not him. That's kind of like the voice of the Lord. Samuel wasn't taught to discern different voices. When he heard a voice, especially when it was just him and Samuel, he thought it was Samuel. And Samuel finally said, "Okay, next time you hear that voice, it's not me. Go and lie down and say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" That's very important. That's very important for us. Psalm 46:10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." Ecclesiastes 5:1 talks about when you go near to the house of God, let your words be few. Go to listen rather than speak. I don't know if you have set apart time to just listen, especially when you pray. If your prayer life is just, man, that's 1 minute. Because I need to pray more than 1 minute. Man, I prayed everything I can. It's not even 15 minutes. I need to pray more than 15 minutes. It's like 14 minutes now. that's how I used to pray. I don't know what your prayer life is like. When I grew up in a Korean church, and that's how they prayed. Oh, they know how to yell and shout and call on Jesus' name. I love those time of prayer. And some of those older ladies, they could pray for hours like that. And that's how I was taught to pray, is just yell, 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 shout, 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 talk, 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 talk. When it comes to prayer, though, and when it comes to communicating with God, it's important that sometimes you listen. Some of you don't believe me. It's important just to sit and wait and be still. Let me tell you, at first, it will be just as boring, I don't want to say boring, it's not boring. Let me tell you, it's not boring. It will be just as difficult, though, as it is praying and talking at first. Because you know why? Especially young people, we're not, and I'm going to say we, because I feel like I'm still young. We are not conditioned to be still and do nothing. Right? You know, even when I don't have anything going on my phone, I feel like I should be checking my phone. It's like, come on, any new emails? No, nothing going on. You know, I don't play games on this, but if I had games, I'd probably be playing games. And there's always something going on, especially if you're young. Always something going on. And I think older people, I don't know where you guys are at. But it's important, whether you're young or old, to sit, be still, and know that He is God. Listen to Him. He says, Samuel. Yes, Lord, your servant is listening. That's such an important part of prayer. And it's not just meditating. And meditating is great too. But just waiting. You know, it says Samuel was doing nothing. He was just lying there, and it looks like a waste of time, doesn't it? Samuel, get up, do something. You're working right now. The lamp of the Lord hasn't gone out yet. It's so important that you just stay and listen and hear His voice. Just like in any relationship, it's so important to listen. And God wants to speak again. Let me tell you, God wants to bring another revival, another great awakening. And if people, and especially His people, aren't listening and waiting and watching, it might just pass us by. Tucson, we don't have the U of A basketball anymore. You have no good reason to be distracted. Let's wait upon the Lord. Let's carve out some time to hear His voice, to hear Him speak, and for Him to speak to our hearts. And this goes without saying, but how you discern it is intimacy with Him and the Word of God. Both are very important, absolutely essential. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, You who spoke and created the heavens and the earth, You who spoke and created the birds, the trees, the sea, in our inmost parts. Sovereign Lord, You who are called the Word of God, You, Jesus, who holds all things together, You who will not be mute, would You speak to us, Lord? For Your servant is listening. We pray, Father, for an increase in hearing You. Father, we ask that You would break off false expectation and conditioning that is not from You, Lord. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart that understands Your ways. We thank You so much. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.